season, when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. So we're always ready, amen? Let's just wait a minute. Sammy knows it's the anointing that makes all the difference. See, I can talk without him, talking about the anointing, the Holy Spirit, or I can talk with him. Sometimes you just need to wait on him, right? And how many knows that is the flesh just hates that. Sandy, when you get up here, don't you just hate that? Everybody just looking at you like, wow, come on with it. Obviously, I don't got it if he don't give it. Oh, he is so good, amen. All the time. 1 John 1:5 says, in God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no shadow of turning, amen. According to 1 John 4:8, he is love. And the Bible says love casts out all fear when it's perfected. Right? Glory to God. I guess I need to say something. I don't know. Maybe it was a couple of Sundays ago, because I think it was last Sunday Monty did Sunday school. And then it may have been the Sunday before that. I remember saying whenever I was up here, y'all remember I talked about the open door? The scripture that God gave us over there in the book of Revelation. And it's true, he has. He's given us an open door. I mean, you know, the Bible says, go into all, Jesus told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? We don't have to ask about that. We are commissioned to do that. We are anointed and appointed to do that. Even the Apostle Paul, I mean, he's on such journey to go and do that. There was times that the Holy Ghost actually like arrested him, stopped him, told him, don't go here. Don't go there. You know, so then he'd have a dream or something, and God would see, send him somewhere else. So that is our thing. At all times, we should be ready to preach the gospel to every creature, the Bible says. So God has given us an open door, and one of the open doors that he's given us is that giveaway. We don't got to go nowhere to preach the gospel. They come to us, right? So that is an open door to us to minister to them, to preach the gospel to them and minister to them in lots of different ways. But I remember saying, I remember telling about that and reading the scripture, and I remember saying that if we think they're just going to come in here without us doing anything, they're not coming. Y'all remember me saying that? That's not so. Because it's not based on what we do about that. Reason why is because God's already said it. Y'all not getting what I'm saying, are you? See, faith believes what God said. Unbelief will try to make it happen. Y'all come on now. See, we may preach the gospel, we may get everybody born again that comes through here in that giveaway, and they may never come here, Johnny, not a one. So me saying that way is wrong. What is right is we stick with what God said. Y'all remember I've said it, I don't know how many times here before. When God says something, don't let your thinking get involved and you trying to work it out and think how it's going to come. And all we got to do about this is believe what God said. God's been saying for years, they're coming from the north, the south, the east, the west, and I had all the rest, right? Then Rondé didn't even know we were saying that. We've been saying that since what, 2015, 2014, something like that? Then here comes Rondé one Sunday morning, I believe it was, and he's over there close to Granny, and he says, and they're coming from the north, the south, the east, the west. He said, they're going to be like little tulips. He said, they're going to have hearts for God and not for this world. And Granny, she said, he's been saying that. He's been saying that for years. That's all we have to do with that. Unless he gives some other kind of direction. Like I said, they could come through that giveaway and get every one of them get born again, and God never lead them to come here. Or God could tell a whole church somewhere, go over there. We can't figure out, we can't work that out, we can't try to make that happen. We have to believe that. And that's all that we can do with that part of that. Now, that open door that God has given us, yes, we should be preaching the gospel to everybody that comes through here the best that we can, whether it's through our testimony, whether it's through the Word of God, however that may be that we're led to do that, right? We should never let an opportunity go by. Amen? Now, what I'm going to be talking about this morning is, I've got the title is Faith Versus Works. And I felt kind of like that some of us have gotten out of faith. Got over into work. Some has got into unbelief. Kind of like this. I felt like that after the revival that we had. Because we're believing God. We've been believing God all these years for exactly what He said. Then Rondé comes and says it. And how many knows this might have been it? See, you don't know when it's it until it shows up or God says. But you are believing, looking for, right? Having works that goes along with that the whole time. Then how many knows when that doesn't happen, maybe when you think it will, come on now. Because what's going to test the time? Time is what's going to test what He tells you. And unless there is a time limit, He puts a time limit, there is no time limit. God's not in time. And we have to see things from His perspective. The last message that I did, I remember I talked about coming up higher. You got to see things the way God sees them. Brother Brad, if you remember the message that he brought Wednesday night, he talked about coming up higher, coming up to the higher place. What's that mean? By faith is the only way you can come up higher. By faith is the only way that you can see things through the lens of God's perspective, and it's through His Word. Because see, Samantha, 6 months from now, the things that bothers you, they're not going to bother you anymore. So you might as well rejoice now. See things the way God sees it. See, your lights may be about to be cut off right now. If you can see it the way God sees it, that He's already supplied all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that He's already given us all things that pertains unto this life and godliness, see it the way He sees it, then you can rejoice. And be glad. Why? Because to you, when you believe it, it's already done. So then you don't think the lack. You don't think, oh God, what are we going to do? You thank God, thank you for what you've already done. Right? But when you're in works, you try. I'm reminded right now, me and Scotty, now we ain't been saved. Probably months we've been saved at this time. And they was cutting our lights off about every other month. You know, they let you go 2 months and then they cut them off or whatever. Somehow or another, we'd steal it or something or do something other. Scotty would, because I wasn't big into that. That was not my thing. But anyway, somehow or another, we'd get them back on after a little while, or his daddy would cut them on or something other. Well, anyway, now we're born again. Now we're trying to come from all of this other stuff that we used to do, depending on people, stealing, whatever the case might be, you know, to trust in God. I mean, that's not easy. Why? Because you got to go from one way of doing things that you may have been doing it for 50 years that way. Now you learn a new way. That's why you have to take the Word of God and renew your mind. Because you will never go beyond speaking and doing further than what you think. Anyway, here it come up. Our light bill was due. We didn't have our light money. Travis hates a baby. I got saved 2 weeks before he turned 2 years old. And the light bill is due and we don't have the money. So Scotty has this bright idea. How many knows all bright ideas are not God ideas? And God ideas is the ones we need to do. But we don't know. We're just learning. So he has this bright idea. We're going to go get a load of watermelons and we're going to take them to the market that evening and we're going to sell them, and so we'll have the money to pay our light bill. Well, lo and behold, we go and we get that load of watermelons. We have to buy them, so we have to spend some money to make some money. So we go and we buy these watermelons, and we go to the market down there in Birmingham, and we sat there, and Travis has a baby, all night long until in the morning in a little S10 truck with a baby. We don't sell no watermelons. We come back home. We don't go to church that morning because we've been up all night, all three of us, you know, just about. Didn't sell no watermelons or nothing. Sandy calls that morning. I don't remember what for or whatever. And anyway, I told her I wasn't going to church. Well, lo and behold, she goes and tells the church, and they help us get the light bill money. My point to that is our works. Did you hear what I said? Coming from good ideas profited us nothing. So we learned from that experience, Samantha, don't ever do that again. God has said He will supply. Therefore, we believe it. We receive it. We thank Him for it, and He does it. Why? Because He's already done it. But what happens is us believing and faith lays hold of what He's already done in the Spirit and brings it to us. The Bible says we take it, right? So I want to talk to you this morning about faith versus works. So if you got your Bible, got quite a bit of scriptures. Or Beth, just put these on the screen, please, so we can get on quickly maybe through these because I got a lot. Romans 1:17 in the Amplified Bible. I'm getting my glasses off so I can read this. It says, "For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith as it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live how? By faith." That word faith sometimes gets people messed up. All it is by what you believe. If you believe words of fear and thoughts of fear, your actions will spring forth from that. If you believe what God has said and what He's done and what He's promised to us in His Word, then our actions will spring from that faith. That's what it means. We live by that. Now let's look at Galatians. Well, no, don't put that one up. Let's look at Hebrews 10:38. Excuse me. He says, "But the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, in holy fervor, born of faith." In other words, that's where it originated. "And conjoined with it, and if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him." Now, Beth, do Hebrews 10:38, please. Oh, that was it. Let me see what I got here, which one it was that I wanted to go to. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11:6 now. It says, "But without what? Without believing God." You can say it that way. Because some people are like, what is faith? It's simply believing, trusting Him. It's why? You can't see Him. But the Bible says that the heavens declares His glory. Right? It says, "But without faith," or without believing Him, "it is impossible." Not that you won't just a little bit. It says it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to Him. Why? You must believe what He said and you must trust Him. It says, "For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out." So in other words, when I'm in fear, I'm not pleasing God. Right? In other words, for me, the Bible says anything done outside of faith is sin. See, a lot of us think adultery, you know, going to the bars, getting drunk, all this stuff is sin. And it can be, it's involved in that. But the thing about it is, if you're out of faith, you're in sin. Why? Because you're missing the mark. That's what sin is. It means to miss the mark. How am I going to hit the mark, Sandy? Only by faith. That's the only way that I can hit the mark. Why? Because things are impossible to me. I can't do them, and if I can do them, they're never going to be what they're supposed to be. Just like the watermelon deal, we could not do it, and God's trying to teach us. Come off of your works and what you can do, and just simply trust and believe what I've told you, and it will come to pass. Just like the coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west, all we have to do is believe that, Johnny, unless He gives some other kind of direction. And when we believe that, guess what? When we're in faith, we come through those doors looking every single time we come in here. Because see, I think some may have got discouraged and lost hope about what God had said concerning that. Just like the revival, you know, we're all excited, we're expecting it to be then, and then it's not. Y'all not saying nothing. Am I the only one? I'm telling you, I'm parking at the dumpster to make room coming in and out of this door. Well, that wasn't it. Y'all remember the story about Elijah, right? A whirlwind came. God wasn't in it. Y'all remember that? All these different things come. God wasn't in it. Did that mean God wasn't coming? No, he was coming. And a lot of opportunities came, but he wasn't in them. But he was in the one that came, that still small voice. How many of us? It could be the next one. It could be this service. So when we're believing God, you have expectation that it is any time now. Because to you, it's already done. The money's already been provided. You're looking, constantly looking. Is it in the mailbox? Is it, I'm going to go to church and somebody's going to give it to me? Am I going to run into somebody at the grocery store? You're always looking because your faith is always out there. But the thing you got to have to go along with your faith is patience. Because see, without patience, you'll lose hope. You'll give up. You'll quit. I believe it was Scotty maybe that brought up Wednesday night about how that a lot of people, right before their breakthrough comes, right before the manifestation of what they've been believing God for all this time, they lose hope and they quit and they give up. And then they don't see it, and then they try to make God out a liar, and his word is not true, but see, his word is what tests us. Because his word's been tested. It's been proven. He's never lied. He's faithful. The Bible says his name is faithful and true. And he's faithful to every one of us. That's why what the Bible says, we have to let patience work. What's that mean? That means you keep believing regardless. When the devil says, look at this, look at this, look at this. You say, hear this, hear this, hear this. The word of the Lord says this. When you get in that line out there, Johnny, and they got cancer, they want you to pray for them. Guess what you got? Hey, I tell you what, the Lord, I prayed for this girl over here. Remember? I think her name's Billie Jean. Yeah. I prayed for her, her mama. And what was it, 2 or 3 months later, she told me her mama's cancer-free. So guess what? It's nothing to my God. You got testimony, Johnny. He's faithful and he's true. And when you tell people that, faith arises within them and they can believe. But time tests trust. How long will you believe what he said? When everything in your life, everything in your body is contrary to it. Sandy, I know the Lord healed you. That day you came up here, I saw the Holy Ghost go from me to you. You waited how long? A month? Is that what you said? You waited a month to testify that you had not had one pain? Don't let the devil steal it. Because you know what? The Bible says after the temptation of Jesus, after he had had all his temptation, the Bible says the devil left him, not forever, for a more opportune time. Because he comes back and he'll say, did you really get healed? Feel this. Did they really get saved? Look at that. Come on now. That's what he does. He's a liar. He is an accuser. But God's word says, by his stripes we've already been healed. When we believe that and we receive that, we talk that. Why? Because to us, it's already done. Even though I'm trying to teach that to the grandkids, Aiden, Tuesday night, he said, Grandma, my belly hurts. And he showed me, right here, my belly hurts. He said, it hurts when I eat and it hurts when I do this and that. And I prayed for him, you know, and everything. He said, but it still hurts. And I said, Aiden, I said, faith, I said, the Bible says you've already been healed. I said, and faith is you believe that even if you still feel the pain. Now, it's a little hard concept for them to understand. Because to them and to us, if I still feel it, Sandy, it's got to be true. That's a lie. His word is true regardless of what I feel. I could feel like Scotty don't love me, but he could love me with all of his heart. But if I feel like he don't love me and I yield to that, then it's true to me. If God's word says that I'm healed and I will believe that, it will bring a manifestation of my expectation. It's already been done. So I tried my best to explain that to him. He's 8. He looks at me a little strange and he's like, okay. He goes on to bed. Well, the next morning, he didn't forget about it. The next morning, I woke him up. He came in the living room. He said, Grandma, he said, my belly's healed. It don't hurt anymore. I said, praise God, Aiden. He says, come as a little child. See, kids believe what you tell them. Sometimes we can get so theological, hermeneutical, and religiously correct. That's not what we need. We need to believe Him and trust Him regardless of what we think, see, and feel. And the world and other Christians may tell us. Right? So without believing God and trusting what He said, I can't be pleasing to Him. And the Bible says give no place for the devil. Anytime I'm not believing what God has said, I am opening the door to Him. And you better believe He will come in with both feet. He'll give you things to feel. He'll send people in your path to tell you. He'll give you something to look at, right? Now, I wrote this down. We live our everyday lives and our thinking, our talking, and our doing based on our faith, our trust, and our confidence in Him. Not in us, in Him, in what He said, in what He's done, what He's promised, and who He is. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, I believe it is, we look unto Jesus. The author means He begun it, right? And the finisher. That means all the way through, He's going to be tweaking my thinking, Sandy. Right? All the way through, He's going to help me make little adjustments here and there that I need to make. Why? Because I don't know everything. And the enemy is so crafty, he's always out there. If he can get you thinking down a different line just a little bit. How many knows when you're flying, when you're in an airplane and they're flying a plane, you get off course 1 degree. And you're on your way to Florida, Richard, you'll never get there. Just 1 degree off, you'll never make it there. Because how many knows 1 degree off over a 500-mile span, you're going to be way off course. But God is faithful. If we are willing and we trust Him and we look to Him all the time, He's faithful. He'll help us. He'll show us. He'll tell us. If we ain't getting it, He'll send a messenger. He'll send a preacher, something. He will help us, right? At all times. So our entire lives have to be lived by faith. A lot of people think you have faith when you believe for a car or a house or bills paid. No, we walk and we live by faith at all times. When we wake up in the morning and we say, good morning, Lord, by faith we believe He's there. According to 1 John 5, the Bible says if we ask anything according to His will, what tells me His will? His Word. His Word tells me, Johnny, that He would that none should perish, but all men should be drawn into repentance, right? And that they would be born again. I know that's His will. So therefore, the Bible says that if I'll serve the Lord, He'll save me and my entire house, right? Then I have that promise. If I believe that, then what I do is I take authority over the demonic spirits that is influencing somebody in my family or something like that. I take authority over them. I bind them that has blinded their hearts and their minds according to the Word of God. And then I ask the Lord, send ministers, God, into their pathway that will minister the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, that the light would shine in, that they would be born again. Because listen, for you to keep saying, God save them, God, what do you think He's been trying to do? God save them? That's not a prayer. He's been trying to do that the whole time. But when I take authority over those demons that's influencing them, that's blinding them, and I ask the Lord to send ministers into their pathway, He said, Johnny, if I ask anything according to His will, and I know that's His will, then I can believe that, I can hang on to that, I can pray that, and then hallelujah, it's done. Then I can praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, they're saved. Yeah, well, so-and-so come. I just seen them out there at the bar. I mean, they're throwing their guts up because they're just dog drunk. I don't care. They're saved. Thank you, Lord, they're born again, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Why? Because I asked according to His will. That's what works. Whatever He said, I ask according to His will. Why? Because I believe it is His will, because His Word told me it's His will. And the Bible says there in 1 John 5, if I ask anything according to His will, then Sandy, I know He heard me. That's what it says. Then I know He heard me. He said, and if I know that He heard me, then I know. I believe. I trust. I have faith. He said that I have, right now, the petitions that I have asked of him. So it is a done deal. So then what do? You rejoice and give God thanks because to you, it's already done. We're supposed to live this way every day, all day long, about everything, everybody, every situation. That's one reason why we need to renew our minds to the Word of God so we know His will. We can think in line with His thoughts, right? He says for us to think His thoughts. He wouldn't tell us to do something that we can't do. He says, put on the mind of Christ. That tells me, Sandy, He's provided it. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God. But how you got to ask? In faith, believing, right? He said he'll give it to you. Colossians chapter 2. See, that's what the devil's after, is our faith. Y'all remember when Jesus was talking to Peter before he went to the cross? He said, Peter, he said, the devil's asked for you that he would sift you like wheat. He could have said, and Jesus told him, he said, I prayed for you, Peter. He could have said, I prayed this, I prayed that. I prayed a lot of difference, what'd he say? He said, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith would fail not. He could have prayed anything, but that is the thing that is the most important. The Bible talks about how that our faith is precious to the Lord. I believe it's over in 1 Peter. That the preciousness of our faith, though it be tried as gold or silver in the fire. See, some of y'all trying to figure out why you're going through what you're going through. It is to refine what you already got. It's not because you don't have it. It is to refine it. The Bible says, so therefore, after you've been tried and it's come through the fire, it'll come forth as pure gold. You know they refine gold? It's not that pretty little ring or earring that you wear when it first comes out of the ground. It's got all kinds of impurities on it. And the way they refine it is they put it in the fire. The Bible says, think it not strange for the fiery trials that's come upon you, right? Oh, but we don't like them. They don't feel good. They hurt. They're supposed to. It's called test. Oh, but when it's done, if you don't quit. But here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, he says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Let me stop here for just a second. He says, as you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Or regulate your, what's that mean? How did you receive Him? How did you get born again? You heard, and you believed, and you confessed Him as Lord with your mouth. If you didn't do that, according to Romans 10:9, you are not born again. Right? We heard, because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. How can they hear without a preacher? So somehow or another, you heard the gospel and you believed and you yielded to that and you got born again. It is the exact same way that we are to walk and live in Him and regulate our lives, conduct ourselves every single day. We hear it preached, or we read it in the Word, and we believe it, and we confess it out of our mouth, right? I believe it was Paul said, we believe, therefore we speak, because we got the same spirit of faith, right? Well, how many knows? We can tell what you believe when we get around you. I don't know something. If all I hear is your problem, if all you hear is my problem, if all you hear is how my kids are acting up, come on now. If all you hear when you get around me is how much my bills are due and what I ain't got and what I can't do. I thought the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, we want to say that in church. But how many knows it? The test is when you get out the doors. Then here it comes. Do you really believe it or not? And see, the good thing about it is, if you realize that you don't, Just repent and start. That's how easy that is. But he says, the same way that I received him, the same way that I got born again, is the same way I get my needs met, the same way I pay my bills, the same way I get my body healed. It's the same way. Faith doesn't change. It may be a different situation. It may be a different person. It may be different, whatever. It doesn't matter. Faith is the same. It comes the same way. It always comes by hearing, right? And it always has voice to it. Oh, but if I get around you, and every time I get around you, all I hear is Jesus and how good he is and what all he's done for you from the time you got born again, 50 years later that you've been serving him. And I'm telling you, may feel like, what is it, 50 miles of muddy road that you're going through at the time? But when I get around you or you get around me and that's what's coming out of me and I'm being squeezed, that's when it's really there. So he says the same way we received him is the same way we walk and live every single day of our lives about everything and everybody. Right? That's what it says. He says, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. And the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him. Fixed and founded in him. Notice how many times it says in him. Being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with what? You give thanks. Why? Because to you, it's already done. You might not see it, you might not feel it, might not look like it, it don't make no difference. To you, it's already done. God spoke to me, and most of you in here know it, my brother's in prison, and God, one day, I was praying, and I was fixing to ask something about the church, and in my spirit, it was like I was stopped, or arrested, however you want to say that, and it was just, how many know some things are not a voice, they're like an impression, you just know that you know that you know. Because he doesn't talk to our outward ears anyway. That's flesh. He talks to our spirit, man. It was like, I want you to ask for your brother to come home early. My brother has 19 years. He's done been down, what is it, 9 years now? April was 9 years. Anyway. And he gave me a scripture. God tells you something, ask him for a verse. You're going to need it. Jesus quoted the word when he came to him. Anyway, and he gave me John 15:7. John 15:7, for any of you that might not know, it says, if you abide in me. That's not in and out. As you stay there. If you abide in me and my word, his word, abides, lives, you're a doer of it. In you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I said, okay, God. I said, I just ask you right now, Lord, for my brother to come home early. And I'm telling you, from that time till after what happened, to me, he was home. I'm not trying to make him come home. I'm not trying to make myself believe he's home. To me, I'm expecting a phone call any minute, and I'm not making myself do it. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. It's born of faith. It's born. On the inside out of your belief is how it comes out. It originates from your faith. Therefore, to me, I'm expecting a phone call, Johnny, every day, all day long, at any time, come pick him up. I don't know how, I don't know when, and I don't care. All I know is God's going to make him come home early. Well, to make a long story short, and most of you in here, y'all saw the papers and everything and heard the story. Lo and behold, a little time goes by, and he gets this letter from a lawyer that he don't know. Lawyers like money, in case y'all don't know it. They really like money. Very rarely do they just out of the blue do things. But anyway, he gets this letter from this lawyer, and this lawyer tells him this new thing that's come up, and he's asking my brother, can I go petition the court for you? What? A lawyer is asking my brother that's in prison, can I go before the judge and ask something for you? to cut down your time? And my brother's like, yeah. Signs the pay, has signed paperwork. So that lawyer, he goes before the judge. My brother don't even go. He goes before the judge, and whatever it was, he petitions the judge. The judge says yes. They knock off, what was it, 14 or 17 months? 17 months of my brother's sentence. Is that coming home early or not? Now, Johnny, in my thinking, that's why I said don't get on a tangent. I'm looking for the doors to swing wide open, and he walks through them any minute. And that may happen. I mean, there may be more that happens. But all I know is because God said that and I believed him and I didn't let go of that, 17 months of his 19 sentences is gone. But Sandy, I couldn't do it. After that, I'm going to tell you something that happened to me after that. Because he didn't walk through the doors, I started trying to push it. Unbeknowing to me and my thinking, I started trying to push it in the spirit, in prayer, and different things, and demanding, and all this other stuff. And the more I tried to do that, Johnny, the harder that got. I lost my peace. I lost my joy. I would cry. And I told God, God, ain't it been long enough? See, when you're in faith, you got peace and you got joy. When you're out, you've tried to push that thing, and you can't make nothing. Nothing. He says, apart from him, you can do nothing. So when you start trying to push that thing, or you start trying to make it happen because you got out of faith, however you got out, because it didn't happen like you thought or what you wanted or whatever, but it was just like God said. God said, ask for him to come home early. Well, he's coming home at least 17 months early. Then it started being hard. And Rondae come one Sunday morning. And he called me up there. Now, he doesn't know. And he begins to pray for him, and he begins to tell me that I'm trying to push this thing. And he don't know even what he's talking about. He doesn't say about my brother. He tells me that I'm trying to push this thing. He said, I see you in the spirit. He said, and there's an anvil. He said, I see you. He said, you are working your way all around the anvil. He said, trying to move it. He said, and you can't. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about that situation with my brother. God had did exactly what he said he would do. Now I got to leave that thing alone, Samantha. Because now I'm out of faith and there's nothing I can do. That will take me down. And it won't do anybody else any good either. Now, let's see here. Let's go to Romans 15 right quick. I'm going to show you what I just said. It is a verse. Romans 15:13, and this is the Amplified. He says, may the God of your hope, this is not worldly hope. The world, when you say, well, do you believe it's going to happen? Well, I hope it does. What they mean is, I wish it would. The word hope in the Bible, when you look it up, almost every place, it means a confident expectation. So that's what he's talking about here. May the God of your confident expectation. Why? Because you're in faith. So fill you with all joy and peace in what? In your believing. Through the experience, because you are experiencing being in faith, you have total peace and joy right in the face of adverse circumstances. Did you hear what I said? It's great. When I was believing God for my brother before that happened, I got off on all that. And while I'm believing, I'm telling you, Johnny, I would sit there on my back porch and I would pray. And I would say, I couldn't help it. Scotty would be sitting over there watching TV. And just out of the blue, it just right in here, it comes up. And I say, hey, have I told you lately my brother's coming home early? He just looks at me, you know, yeah. A few minutes later, it'll go by. And I'm like, hey. Did I tell you lately my brother's coming home early? I couldn't help it. and just start laughing. Why? I am experiencing my faith. So I have total peace and I have total joy. But when I got out of faith, I have total discouragement, despair, oppression, depression. That's how you can tell when you're really in it and when you're really not. And if you're not, all you got to do, Sandy's, find the word, make the adjustment, and get in it, and bam, there it is. That's how easy. It's a choice. But he says there, may the God of your hope or confident expectation, what you're believing, so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with confident expectation. Woo! Glory, that's the best way, I'm telling you. Now, let's look here at... let's look at Matthew 11. See something Jesus said here. Very familiar scriptures, and I've heard a lot of times it used for salvation, and that's good. How many knows a lot of the word has more than just one application? There's been times in my life I've quoted a word, stood on a word for a certain thing or whatever, and then later the Lord bring it up to me about something else. And I'm like, I didn't even know that applied to that. But here in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, this is going to be in the Amplified. Jesus talking. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. How many knows anytime you're out of faith, this is how you're going to be? Right? He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, he said, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. How many knows faith is a rest? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle, I am meek, humble, and lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, it's useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. Did you hear what I said? It's not harsh, it's not hard. When things start becoming hard to you, you're getting out of faith. That needs to be a red light for each one of us to make the adjustment before you go too far in it. It's not hard, sharp, or pressing, but it's comfortable, his yoke now, gracious and pleasant. And my burden is heavy, pressing down, make you depressed till you think you can't get out of the flow. What did he say it is? Light and easy to be borne. So when I'm in faith, things are light to me. Why? I'm not carrying it. I'm not pushing it. I'm not making it happen. I'm just believing whatever he has said. That is the easiest thing we will ever do. And we will have total peace and total joy during that whole time. Amen? Now let's look at Galatians 3. Notice what Paul said here to them. Verse 1. He says, oh, you poor and silly and thoughtless and unreflecting and senseless Galatians. Whew, that'd be something to start a letter to us like that, wouldn't it? Who has fascinated or bewitched or cast a spell over you, unto whom right before your very eyes Jesus Christ the Messiah was openly and graphically set forth and portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit as the result of obeying the law and doing its works? Or was it by hearing the message of the gospel and believing it? Let me ask you, did you obey the works of the law as what got you born again? Or was it just by you believing somehow or another the gospel that was preached to you, so however you got it? It's always believing. The Bible says it's by grace that we are saved, through faith. Right? Grace, God's goodness did it for us, and we can only get it by believing him, right? No other way. And he said the same way that way that happened to us is the same way we walk and live every day. He goes on here. Was it from observing a law of rituals or from a message of faith? Well, we know it was from a message of faith. Are you so foolish and so senseless and so silly? Having begun your new life spiritually with the Holy Spirit, Are you now reaching perfection by dependence on the flesh? You will never. Nobody will ever. When you read your Bible, you read it by faith. Right? According to His Word, the Bible said it is food for my spirit. Jesus Himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. The Bible tells me to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Why? That I may grow thereby. So therefore, I get my Bible in faith, trusting what He said. I don't understand it. I don't know what He's talking about. But Sandy, I trust Him and I believe Him. He'll show me. He'll tell me. And I believe that when I read this Word, I desire it. Therefore, I'm getting the sincere milk. I'm growing. Right? That's faith. Instead of this, you know, good, well, you don't understand it, and it's not going to do you any good. Of course He's going to say that. Come on, because He's a liar and He knows He's going to do you good. So therefore, I don't read my Bible because I have to. I read my Bible because I want to. And I want to grow and I want to develop. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But faith begins wherever the will of God is known. 66 books in this tells me His will about everything in my life. And whatever's not written in there, I've been born again. Therefore, I have the Holy Ghost and He tells me. So I can't lose. You can't lose. It's a fixed fight, Sandy, if you'll stay in it. It's already fixed. And the book says, we win. That's why we fight from a place of victory. Because we've already been given the victory. But we have to see things the way that God has said them and the way He sees them, that they're already done. You call yourself healed. You call yourself blessed. Well, it feels like I'm cursed. Who said feel? He said believe. Brother Brad said it Wednesday night. When you feel weak, what's the Bible say? Say, I am strong. Sometimes you feel so stupid saying that. And come out of your mouth because you feel so weak. But the Bible says to do it. God said to do it. It is His will. The Bible says, I look into my heels from where my strength comes from. I look into the Lord. So therefore, what do? I look to Him, Sandy. I don't look to me. I'm telling you, when my head was so messed up, if y'all, some of y'all that was here, you might remember, I'd come in here. Scotty would have to help me in, and I'd sit in a chair down here. Because, I mean, it was terrible. I couldn't even stand up. I got to the point to where I couldn't walk but like one day a week by myself. There was times that I would come in here to do Sunday school and I'd have to have help. And it would be like I'd be okay as long as I was standing there. Now my head would be messed up. But my body, when I would go to move my leg or something, it's like it would just start doing like this and I was out of control of it. And I would sit up here and I would tell y'all, y'all remember, you're going to have to help me. Y'all remember me telling you that? You're going to have to help me because if I can come out of the flesh and get over into the spirit, it's not my flesh supposed to be talking to you anyway. And there's not a problem in my spirit. Do you know you're the same way? If you can just get over far enough into the spirit, what's taking place in your physical body won't matter. I got to stop because actually our time is up. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment or anything before we close?